It's hot here in the Love Shack. You're listening to WGXC Acre, Hudson, Catskill.
Network, this is the news. This is the network. This is the news. This is the network. Network.
I'm Tom Rowe in Acre, and you've tuned into the WGXC Morning Show on November 11th, 2022. We're going to turn back the clock to a November 11th, 1794 today, to when the Canandaigua Treaty was signed by the United States of America and the Six Nations of the Iroquois Confederacy. We're going to hear about some of this history today from our friends at WOOC in Troy. Plus, we're going to hear national headlines from the Public News Service and the local Better Weather from the Catskill Maker Syndicate. And it all starts after the local news, which is next after Jason Martin has finished singing this song on the WGXC Morning Show. Stay tuned.
And the moon turns to blood. A stream runs through. This is the network. Network. This is the news. This is the network. This is the news. This is the network. Network. This is the news. This is the network. This is the news. This is the network. Network. And the moon turns to blood. A stream runs through. And the moon turns to blood. This is the network. Network. And the moon turns to blood. A stream runs through. And the moon turns to blood. This is the network. Network.
This is the news.
This is the network.
Friday, November 11th, tune in or turn out to the Avalon Lounge in Catskill. Performances from Sky Furrows, Boulay, and Doubles. Sky Furrows is fronted by poet Karen Schomer from Columbia County. The rest of the band hails from Albany. Boulay is Wednesday Knudsen and Clark Griffin of Pigeons, who hail from Austerlitz. And then the band Doubles is from Kingston. So a triple Hudson Valley bill, Friday, November 11th, at the Avalon Lounge in Catskill. WGXC will have a live web stream at WGXC.org. Click on the Listen button and scroll down to find the extra web stream. From 8 to 11 p.m., Friday, November 11th, turn out to the Avalon Lounge in Catskill to see and hear Sky Furrows, Boulay, and Doubles, or tune in at WGXC.org.
Wave Farm programs are made possible in part by the New York State Council on the Arts, with the support of the New York State Legislature, the National Endowment for the Arts, the Andy Warhol Foundation for the Visual Arts, the Greene County Legislature through the County Initiative Program, administered in Greene County by CREATE, the Alexander and Marjorie Hoover Foundation, the T. Backer Fund, the Joseph Family Charitable Trust, and hundreds of other generous individual donors, including WGXC's sustaining supporters, who provide critical monthly support to Wave Farm's radio station, WGXC 90.7 FM. Thank you.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Round Top Productions in Round Top, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You, too, can become a sustaining supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate. Thank you for your support.
We interrupt this broadcast to bring you a special news bulletin.
Stay tuned to this station.
Stand by for news.
Direct via satellite from our on-the-spot task force.
Good evening from our newsroom in New York.
This is
Daily News and Weather Report.
From the WGXC newsroom, this is the WGXC Hands-On Radio News Update. I'm Philip Grant.
This is Tom Rowe. You can go to the newsroom at WGXC.org for more information about anything you hear here. Patricia Doxey reports for the Daily Freeman that Dutchess County will be led by an unelected executive for the coming year. County Executive Mark Molinaro resigns to become the representative of the 19th Congressional District in the U.S. Congress. He will leave the county in the hands of William O'Neill. O'Neill is a Republican who has served in Molinaro's administration since 2012, but has never been elected to public office. And O'Neill will remain in the position for a full year. The County Charter states in part that the acting county executive, quote, shall serve until the commencement of the calendar year next following the first annual election held not less than 60 days after the occurrence of such vacancy, unquote. That language, county officials said, means that the race for a new county executive cannot take place until November 2023, with the winner being sworn in on January 1st, 2024. Legislator Chair Greg Pulver, a Republican, said he hopes county lawmakers will change that charter provision once a new executive takes office. He said, quote, I think we're in great hands with O'Neill, but I think if you look into the future, you've got to look at something like that and see if there's a better way. There is no doubt this is going to work. I just worry about the future and who might not be so qualified to do this job and isn't elected, unquote. Pulver has already indicated his intention to seek the GOP nomination to run for executive in 2023. This will be the second time in the county's history that an unelected person was put in charge of county government. The first and only other time occurred in 1978. Read more about the story in the Daily Freeman.
Mid-Hudson News reports that some Ulster County Democratic voters filed a lawsuit in state Supreme Court November 9th to make the Ulster County Commission on Reapportionment's redistricting comply with state law. An October 2021 state law mandates a 5% difference between the mean population of the largest and smallest county legislative districts, and Ulster County's map does not comply, making it illegal. The Ulster County Commission on Reapportionment has refused to draw a legal map. The Ulster County Attorney recently told the Ulster County Commission on Reapportionment that they should fix their errors, but Regis Obajiski, the commissioner's chair, then said, and I quote, Ulster County Reapportionment Commission that created the new map has no intention of going back and fixing their mistake without a court order, end quote. This civil complaint may provide that court order, with Ulster County Legislature Chair Tracy Bartels saying, and I quote, it's ridiculous that it should take a lawsuit by private individuals to get a public commission to fix the illegal issues, end quote. Read the full story at Mid-Hudson News.
Larry Parnes is reporting for the Berkshire Eagle that a measure to require wealthy Massachusetts residents to pay higher income taxes won the approval of voters in Berkshire County November 8th. The Fair Share Amendment, or Question 1 on the ballot, called to impose an additional 4% tax on the portion of incomes over $1 million, with the added revenue earmarked for education and infrastructure. With 92.5% of precincts statewide reporting, the new tax passed with 52% support. In Berkshire County, the measure had the support of 67% of voters. Hancock was the only town in the county to reject a higher tax on incomes, rejecting the question 181 to 162. In several Berkshire communities, Question 1 had landslide support. Some of the biggest endorsers were Great Barrington, 75.8% in favor, Williamstown, 75.3%, Monterey, 71.1%, and Pittsfield, 69.5%. A total of four referendum questions appeared on all state ballots, and the outcomes in Berkshire County were consistent with the statewide results. Question 2 required dental insurers to spend at least 83% of the premiums they collect on actual dental care. Question 3, the measure to lift the cap on retail liquor licenses, failed 55 to 45%. And question 4, to preserve the new right of some undocumented residents to secure driver's licenses, passed with 62.5% of the yes or no votes locally compared to 53.7% statewide. Read more about this story in the Berkshire Eagle.
Steve Hughes reports in the Times Union, a second Albany County Comptroller's audit this year identifies issues with Sheriff Craig Apple's use of money seized through criminal investigations. Comptroller Susan Rizzo said that, and I quote, state and federal forfeiture funds were donated to community-based organizations and town events which do not meet the criteria for law enforcement or criminal prosecution purposes, end quote. Apple pushed back on the second report. Apple wrote in an October 18th response to Rizzo's findings, and I quote, the opinion that seems to be followed in this audit is a 27-year-old opinion that seems a bit archaic. In addition, today all the more so, I see the need to fund youth sports programs and organizations that promote positive youth engagements, end quote. Rizzo said that the vast majority of Apple's spending was permissible, with other expenses more ambiguous and other spending flatly not permissible. Forfeiture funds are supposed to be used for other criminal investigations and prosecutions. But Apple was giving some of the money to charities, such as $2,500 to the town of Knox for a fireworks celebration and $2,000 to a United Way literacy program. The state comptroller's office repeatedly has said that spending forfeiture funds on community programs is inappropriate. Read the full story in the Times Union.
Philip Pantuso reports for the Times Union that the Kingston Rent Guidelines Board November 9th voted 6-3 to enact a 15% rent reduction for tenants who sign 1 or 2 year leases between August 1st, 2022 and September 30th, 2023 at certain protected properties. The decision came after months of organizing by tenants as well as the activist group For the Many, Citizen Action and the Democratic Socialists of America, and the statewide coalition Housing Justice for All. The decision applies to rental properties that fall under the Emergency Tenant Protection Act, a rent stabilization law that dictates rent increases for certain city buildings. Kingston became the first city north of New York City suburbs to adopt the law earlier this year. The law covers 64 buildings with approximately 1,200 rental units in the city, where the average rent has doubled since 2015 and where home values have increased 50% since 2020. The move is the first rent reduction in New York State history. Michael Tierney, a tenant representative to the Rent Guidelines Board, said, quote, "This reduction represents a paradigm shift in how we address the needs of the many over unregulated market conditions," unquote. The Rent Guidelines Board was established after the Kingston Common Council adopted a resolution declaring a housing emergency on July 28th. Quote, "This is a monumental victory, not just for Kingston tenants, but for tenants across New York," unquote, said Aaron Nareff Fernando, communications leader at For the Many. Quote, "Any reduction in rents would have been historic, but the capacity for a 15% reduction to provide substantive relief to thousands of people cannot be overstated," unquote. Read the full story at thetimesunion.com.
Andrea Mako reports in Porcupine Soup that the town of Greenville and the town of Greenville Rescue Squad reached a labor agreement November 9th, securing ambulance service in the town for the next 5 years. The agreement in 2023 gives the Greenville Rescue Squad $554,558, a 35% increase over the $403,874 paid in 2022. The current contract with the town expires December 31st. Greenville Rescue Squad Chairman Ted Nugent Jr. said, and I quote, "It's been a struggle to keep staff on and them not knowing if they were going to have a job come January 1st, end quote. The town of Greenville wants to build the Greenville Rescue Squad a new home soon. Town Supervisor Paul Mako said, and I quote, "The plan is for the town to build a public safety building for the rescue squad with a heated garage to park the ambulances and a fly car for Green EMS. We are looking at possibly behind the library where the skateboard park is or another parcel of property. I have been in conversation with people within the sewer and water district that have some property for sale," end quote. Read the full story in Porcupine Soup.
And that wraps up the WGXC Hands-On Radio News Update. For local weather reports, public meetings, and other community information, use the WGXC website, WGXC.org. From the WGXC Newsroom, I'm Philip Grant. Have a good day.
And now, here is your WGXC weather update. Your forecast for the next 2 days, well, on Friday, Veterans Day, there will be rain mainly after 1 p.m. with a temperature high near 67 degrees, more rain and possibly a thunderstorm on Friday night, and some of those storms could produce heavy rainfall. The temperature low will be around 61 degrees. And on Saturday, a chance of showers before 1 p.m., otherwise it will be partly sunny with a temperature high near 65 degrees. and Saturday night mostly cloudy with a temperature low of around 38 degrees. And that is your weather update from WGXC, 90.7 FM, radio for open ears in Greene and Columbia counties.
There are so many creative community voices on the air on Friday, November 11th, including 10 a.m. it's time for Music Around the World from the Global Go-Go Show. At noon, after the local news, Jared Wiggenshut is live from the WGXC Hudson Studio in the basement of the First Presbyterian Church on Warren Street, with 2 hours of rock, pop, and more on the Sugar Shack Jukebox. At 4 p.m., the WGXC Afternoon Show is live from Acre. Then at 6 p.m., we're live from Catskill with Clubhouse Radio. The youth at the Catskill Clubhouse on Main Street there play their music and tell stories of their own live on the radio at 6 p.m. every Friday. 7 p.m., there's youth from Hudson talking about what they've been reading on the Bound by Books show. And at 8 p.m., we go live to the Avalon Lounge in Catskill with a trio of Hudson Valley bands performing, Sky Furrows, Boulay, and Doubles, all live at the Avalon Lounge in Catskill, 8 to 10 p.m., and on the radio at 90.7 FM, WGXC.
Get a local event mentioned on All Together Now. Go to WGXC.org and click on Add an Event at the top of the page. And copy and paste the information about your event in the boxes. Let's all get involved in our community. See what's going on at WGXC.org in the community calendar.
Friday, November 11th, tune in or turn out to the Avalon Lounge in Catskill. Performances from Sky Furrows, Boulay, and Doubles. Sky Furrows is fronted by poet Karen Schomer from Columbia County. The rest of the band hails from Albany. Boulay is Wednesday Knudsen and Clark Griffin of Pigeons, who hail from Austerlitz. And then the band Doubles is from Kingston. So a triple Hudson Valley bill, Friday, November 11th, at the Avalon Lounge in Catskill. WGXC will have a live web stream at WGXC.org. Click on the Listen button and scroll down to find the extra web stream. From 8 to 11 p.m., Friday, November 11th, turn out to the Avalon Lounge in Catskill to see and hear Sky Furrows, Boulay, and Doubles, or tune in at WGXC.org. You're listening to the Test Site of Acoustic Commons, available at wavefarm.org/listen or on any WGXC.org webpage if you click on the Listen button. The Test Site of Acoustic Commons is a microphone in the Wave Farm woods that lets you overhear the sounds of nature, the live weather, on the radio at wavefarm.org/listen or click on any WGXC.org webpage. Click on the Listen button to hear the sounds in the woods at Wave Farm through the Test Site of Acoustic Commons.
Hello and welcome to the better weather for Friday, November 11th. Local early morning temperatures range from 37 degrees in Voorheesville to 57 in Roxbury. Regional average soil temperature is 50 degrees. Snow falls today about 600 miles away north by northeast in Quebec. Brace yourselves because that's not the last time I'm going to mention it. Today, things get interesting, hence the fun new background music. High temperature happens at 2 p.m. hitting 62 degrees. By that time, however, rain will be falling for some in the listening area. As the afternoon goes on, rain expands and gets stronger, turning into a storm after dark. Through the night, gusts of 35 miles per hour are expected, along with continued rain. Temperatures actually hit a low of 61 at 9 p.m., then an overnight high of 67 around 3 a.m. as storm energy reaches its peak. Branches are going to come down. Anything not held down in your yard is going to get blown away. Tomorrow morning, storm conditions linger as wind gusts and rain die down by noon. Most of the day will be 65 degrees, then dip in the afternoon, stopping overnight at 40 degrees. Sunday, we'll see some drizzle in the morning, then a dry afternoon with a high of 50. Overnight, temperatures drop to 30 degrees, and Monday looks dry with a high of 43. That all being said, there are murmurings of lake effect snow falling Sunday night over western New York, and if conditions drift in the right direction, it could fall here too. Anyway, today's tide schedule is high tide at 4:35 a.m., low tide at 10:47 a.m., high tide again at 4:38 p.m., and low tide once again at 11:37 p.m. Today's river temperature will be 56 degrees, and the tide strength will be average. Sunset today will be at 5:26 p.m., sunrise tomorrow will be at 7:37 a.m. Looking way up, we see even though previously mentioned sunspot 3141 is going Delta class, the standard synoptic shows only 15% chance for M and 1% chance for X class flares today. That means if we get a surprise X level eruption, we're going to feel it because we are right in its sights. We also have an aurora oval reaching down almost to North Dakota. Solar wind speed is currently 314 kilometers per second at 8.2 protons per milliliter. Radio propagation conditions are currently fair below 8 megahertz till dark, with fair conditions across the board overnight. The 24-hour predicted KP index is 3, quiet. The current sunspot number is 79. And this has been the Better Weather, brought to you by the Catskill Makers Syndicate.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Neva Wartell of Catskill, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a sustaining supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate and designating an amount of your choosing. Thank you for your support.
Hi, Laura Kuhn here, director of the John Cage Trust, bringing you a deep dive into the intriguing life and work of Renaissance man John Cage, celebrated composer, poet, philosopher, chess pupil of Marcel Duchamp, life partner of Merce Cunningham, macrobiotic chef, exponent of Zen, visual artist, and avid and pioneering mycologist. Tune in to All Things Cage, 7 p.m. Saturdays beginning January 2nd, for conversations with cage experts and enthusiasts from around the world, right here at Wave Farm's WGXC 90.7 FM, Radio for Open Ears, and via the web at wavefarm.org.
Variety says this one won't miss. Awesome beyond description.
The most extraordinary output ever to emerge from the motion picture studio.
It cost $4 million and it has 4 million thrills.
Like this. Welcome to 2022 Talks, where we're following our democracy in historic times.
I got into this race for one reason and one reason only, to fight. And not just any fight, a fight to save Georgia. A fight on behalf of our children and generations to come.
In Georgia, Democratic challenger Stacey Abrams conceded the governor's race to incumbent Republican Brian Kemp. Kemp defeated Abrams with 53% of the vote. Abrams added, while she and Kemp might not see eye to eye on every issue, they both want to live in a Georgia where everyone's voice is heard. In his victory speech, Kemp said the campaign was about a host of issues for him, such as keeping taxes in Georgia low, ensuring kids are getting a good education in spite of pandemic disruptions, and fighting record-high inflation. Kemp also spoke about public safety.
But this campaign was also about keeping you and your family safe, and by backing our men and women in law enforcement.
Meanwhile, the Georgia Senate race between Republican Herschel Walker and Democrat Raphael Warnock will go to a runoff election December 6th. Neither Walker nor Warnock garnered the required 50% of the vote, as a Libertarian candidate captured about 2% of the vote statewide. Georgia Secretary of State Brad Raffensperger provided an update.
Our office has already begun the behind-scenes work to start building the ballots. So ballots are being built as we speak, and counties are making preparations. So some specifics for the process. Voters can request absentee ballots now through Monday, November 28th.
In a close race, Pennsylvanians elected John Fetterman to the Senate over television personality Dr. Mehmet Oz, flipping the seat from Republican to Democrat.
This race is for the future of every community all across Pennsylvania, for every small town or person that ever felt left behind, for every job that was ever been lost.
Connecticut voters approved a ballot measure amending the state's constitution to add provisions for early voting. Though 60% of voters approved the measure, it's facing a legal challenge from a New Britain woman who claims it is unconstitutional. A state judge ordered the challenge to be continued to next week. Finally, President Biden said Tuesday was a good day for democracy, as the process of conducting elections performed well under recent tests. He says the election went smoothly in spite of concerns of possible violence.
The states across the country saw record voter turnout, and the heart and soul of our democracy, the voters, the poll workers, the election officials, they did their job and they fulfilled their duty, and apparently without much interference at all, without any interference, it looks like.
I'm Edwin J. Vieira for Pacifica Network and Public News Service. Find our 8 trust indicators to support transparency and accuracy at publicnewsservice.org.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. In our last report, we suggested that election night wouldn't be results night in many places around the country due to the slower counting of mail-in ballots. But in some jurisdictions, it's not the mail slowing things down, it's conspiracy theories. Nye County, Nevada supervisors voted in August to conduct its general election by hand in a county with 33,000 registered voters. The Associated Press reports that in the pre-election counting of early mail-in ballots, after a full day with 60 volunteers, Nye County had only counted 900 of its received 1,950 mail-in ballots. In study after study, optical ballot readers are found to be faster and with an accuracy so close to perfect that unless the margin is razor thin, there is no point in recounting by hand. In this case, no ballot readers were to be used at all. The AP observed 2 groups of 5 officials who spent about 3 hours each counting 50 ballots. In New Hampshire, a fringe conspiracy theory group claiming that optical ballot tabulators are subject to fraud and hacking said it planned to intentionally overvote ballots. Overvotes, voting for more candidates than allowed, forces a hand count. Last spring, the same group failed in its attempt to convince any New Hampshire towns to mandate only hand counting. It's unclear how much extra counting time was added by the overvote action. We have links to articles at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. For the American Democracy Minute, I'm Brian Beal.
This song doesn't have a chorus that's
Next, we have an interview from
WOOC.
To learn more about this program, the Sanctuary for Independent Media, visit us online at mediasanctuary.org.
Hello, my name is Lavender. I'm the founder of a nonprofit called Music for the World and a former intern at the Sanctuary for Independent Media. Today, I present you with the first compilation of street interviews as part of a series that I call Dear World. These interviews were taken outside a polling location in upstate New York on the evening of November 8th, 2022.
My only question is really, how do you wish people would treat you differently?
How do I wish people would treat me differently? I hope that people would take the time to sit down and find out more about me as a person. Mm-hmm. I wish that we'd sit down and find the time to figure out who we are as people more, and then take it from there.
I appreciate that. And Would you mind sharing some demographic information if you're comfortable?
I am African American, and I am in my early 40s.
Race, ethnicity, age, sex, gender, disabilities.
I'm actually Caribbean American. I'm Caribbean American. I'm in my early 40s, and I'm female.
Are you an immigrant?
Yes.
Great. Well, thank you so much.
You're welcome.
How do you wish people would treat you differently, just in general?
I think just kinder. Mm-hmm. You know, just don't judge people right away, and that's really it. You know, just kind off the bat.
Yeah, and no other specifics.
No.
Okay. Do you mind sharing some demographic information, race, age, gender, sex, disability status?
And... No, thank you.
Okay. Just one simple question. How do you wish people would treat you differently, or if you have a message to people, what would it be?
Let's see. I guess more tolerant of other people's opinions. That would be a good start. More respectful.
Okay. Anything else to add?
No.
Would you mind sharing just any demographic information, age, sex, gender, race, a disability status, et cetera?
Oh, for me?
For you, yes.
Oh, I'm over 60, white male, married, three kids.
Okay. Thank you so much. I'm just wondering, how do you wish people would treat you differently just on a daily basis? Any specific experiences you want to highlight?
No specific experiences, just with kindness all the time.
Okay.
And respect.
And if you would mind sharing any demographic information about yourself, sex, race, age, disability status, etc.
I'm a female, white, 36 years old, no disabilities.
Okay, thank you so much. How do you wish people would treat you differently just on a daily basis? Is there anything you notice people treat you in a way that you wish wasn't the case?
Not necessarily. Pretty good with people, you know what I mean? So how do you wish people would treat you differently?
All the time.
How specifically
family, yeah.
How specifically, like, is there a specific way people treat you that you wish they might do a little differently?
Well, I'm joking about that, but I'm talking within family, yeah, because people don't take accountability for their own stuff and responsibility. They try to put everything on the other person.
Okay.
You know?
Okay. And just in general, do you have kind of just a message to people? Like, what do you want from the world, you know? What do you want from
more
people?
Kindness, more understanding, more mercy and grace.
And bring really. God back into the world.
Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you.
And would you mind sharing just some demographic information, sex, age, gender, race, sexuality, disability status, anything you're open to sharing?
Female, white.
Male, white, I don't know, American Indian, is that white, yellow?
A little bit.
American Indian?
Yeah.
As in Native American?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
And what's it called, what is our sex status? I don't even know what you would call it.
Male?
No, I know, but I'm saying we're not...
Married?
Do you mean sexuality?
Yeah. I wouldn't even know.
Straight?
Yeah, I guess that's it. Straight.
I guess.
That's it.
Okay, thank you. So I just want to know, how do you wish people would treat you differently, or how you wish to see, you know, other people treated differently, or what you just want from the world?
I would like to see people pretty much treated like the way they want to be treated. I think I'm treated pretty fair, sometimes not so much, but I think I get, you know, when they're upset with me, it's not because they're upset with me. They're upset with maybe how they're being treated in the world or something that I can't really control.
Okay. And do you think how you present has anything to do with that?
Oh, absolutely. If you present yourself in a positive way and treat people with respect, you get that back 90% of the time.
And so do you feel that you do that, but you don't always get that in return?
I always try to treat people with respect, starting it off. Sometimes if I don't get treated with respect, I might jump and get a little angrier. But as long as I'm level-headed and calm, they tend to reciprocate. Every now and then, it's like, I'll try to be fair, and they're, like I said, they're angry at something else. And they may take it out on me, but for the most part, I think I'm treated fair, and people treat me fairly.
Okay, great, thank you. And would you mind sharing race, age, gender, anything about yourself?
I'm a 55-year-old white male.
And sexuality, disability status?
No disabilities.
And are you a...
heterosexual, yes ma'am.
Native U.S. citizen?
I am.
Okay, thank you so much. How do you wish people would treat you differently, and or if you just had a message to the world of what you want from the world, what would that be?
Oh.
Peace.
Mind your business and respect others.
Yeah.
There you go.
Respect. Peace. All, everybody needs to respect each other.
And you?
No particularly.
Yeah. Anything else to add?
Nope.
And if you wouldn't mind sharing some demographic information about yourself, if you're comfortable, race, gender, disability status, sexuality, age.
Oh, male, 52, white.
64 years old.
Asian.
Are you immigrants?
Yes. We are citizen already.
Okay. And do you feel that impacts how people treat you?
Yes. Yes. You could feel it, and you could show it to you too.
So what do you want them to do differently?
Just treat others the same. We are all breathing the same. What color, what race, sex you are, what gender. It's just, I just want equality for everybody. Treat people the same way because we are breathing the same air. We're eating the same food. I don't care who you are. That's just true. Treat fairly people. No racism, nothing of those.
Yeah, but despite it's 2022, you could still feel it. That
right.
People still see it in your color, despite your achievements, despite your education.
It doesn't matter what color you are.
Yeah.
We should respect each other.
It still
respect
is.
And
this is just
the same.
There's no video, right?
No, just audio.
Yeah.
Just the same. Treat people the same way.
I just want to know, how do you wish people would treat you differently, especially based on how you present, and what do you want from the world? I know it's a pretty open-ended question.
I can answer that, but you may not like the answer.
That's fine. I want all opinions, no matter.
I'd like people to become smarter.
Okay, could you be more specific? How do you envision that happening?
I don't know, but I deal with a lot of stupid people. And that would make me feel much better if people were smarter.
Well, or better informed.
So, seeking factual information, perhaps, or getting better education?
Better education, yeah.
Yeah, pretty much.
And do you have any different perspective on how you would want to be treated differently?
Well, women generally are, I feel, kind of, especially in certain industries, definitely look down on, but I guess that would be something that I would like to see changed, but
okay.
Maybe not my generation.
And in conjunction with that, would you mind sharing some demographic information about yourself, such as sex, race, age, sexuality, disability status?
72. I'm female, married. What else was the? What are the criteria?
If you have any disabilities.
No disabilities.
Sexuality.
What does that mean, sexuality? She's binary.
No.
Wait, your sexual or / romantic attraction.
Male.
So straight.
Straight.
Heterosexual.
Yes.
And
yes. That's my wife.
Yes. And your gender, race, age, any other information?
My gender is male. I'm 71.
Yes.
I have to ask it because I'm not sure. And my sexuality is I'm straight.
Okay, thank you so much.
That interview was from
WOOC.
To learn more about this program, the Sanctuary for Independent Media, visit us online at mediasanctuary.org.
Thank you.
Wichita, give me a war and nickel, war and Beginning, I didn't think anyone could hurt you.